You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027.
Good evening and welcome back. Peter Riedling is still here for Michael Avery for the week. Time for the offshore investment feature. We are speaking to Lester Davids, investment specialist from Unum Capital. Lester, good evening.
Good evening, Peter, and good evening to your listeners.
I'm excited to talk to you, man. I follow you rather relatively closely on Twitter. If you're not following Lester Davids, you should find him. I think it's at Lester Davids, right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm following you as well, and I really enjoy what you are putting out at the moment.
well, thank you very much. I want to talk a little while. We're talking a little bit of investment, sort of offshore investment. It's a big theme. I think it's something that a lot of people want to get exposure to. And, you know, we've obviously seen a lot of stuff within South Africa where people are making new locally listed ETFs with offshore exposure. So it's definitely something that people are relatively interested in. Also, probably something that most people should really consider. You do need to have some offshore exposure. It is nice to have some foreign currency denominated, investments in your portfolio. I think the trick is that you have to find the right stuff. And something that we've been, I guess, looking at is like a major theme in the market where momentum versus growth stocks or value versus growth stocks, right, has been a relatively big thing, right? So we've seen obviously growth stocks, and I think I was talking to a little earlier to Rob Dahl about this. Those growth stocks, those tech stocks have been doing really, really well. And then in this post-pandemic environment, you've seen value stocks, really fighting back and taking a bit of momentum. But that seems to be losing a bit of ground at this stage.
Correct. Yes. So since the second quarter of 2020, we have seen the value sector outperforming the growth sector. And that's been primarily on the back of the expected increase in inflation, which should subsequently lead to an increase in interest rates, which should benefit sectors such as financials, materials, industrials, the more cyclical type of sectors, which all benefit from higher interest rates. Conversely, we've also seen the technology sector, which has been a massive outperformer over the last 2 years. We've seen that sector take a bit of a backseat and trade in a somewhat sideways range since around July 2020. We've seen the U.S. 10-year bond specifically move up to around the 1.75 level. However, over the last few weeks, that has come back dramatically to around the low 140s. We have seen, as you've mentioned, seen the value versus growth trade reverse, with financials pulling back not too sharply, materials pulling back as well. And on the other hand, we've got the technology sector sort of finding buyers and starting to push back up to those highs. In fact, last night in the U.S., we did see markets close at a record level, and I think that was led by the technology sector, while all of the cyclical sectors, as we just mentioned, have pulled back somewhat. Whether this pullback is continues for an extended period, we will have to keep an eye on interest rates, and specifically the commentary out of the U.S. Federal Reserve, which is due on Wednesday evening, where they'll make the interest rate decision. And I think what we'll have to watch out is not only the decision, but the accompanying commentary, as well as the pace of interest rates going forward.
Yeah, and I think this is a big theme. And I think, I was chatting to, as I mentioned, Rob a bit earlier. I posed the question, do you keep buying tech stocks? Because, are these valuations justified and stuff? And I guess leaning on what you've been saying now is we can't really make that call until we know what the interest rate decision is going to be, right? 90% chance is going to be a non-event, small percent chance that there's going to be some tightening, and we might see a bit of a shock in the market. But I guess my question is really, now with this value sort of losing momentum versus growth, is this an opportunity to get into value stocks, or do we just go full swing back into the growth stocks?
I think it depends on your time, on your time horizon. However, if we do compare the two camps, value versus growth, we know that value has been out of favor for an extended period. I think it's been a 12-year down cycle for value, while growth has just surged ahead, and that's been based on a lower interest rate environment. If we have a look at the two from a valuation perspective, we know that there definitely is a, on the value side, valuations are definitely at a much lower level than growth has been. So if we're having a look at an entry level, yes, we may pull back further, but that should be an opportunity for those perhaps with a longer time horizon to be able to phase back into, I mean, if you've missed the upswing from around Q2, Q3 2020, this could be your opportunity to get back into the value sector and slowly phase into that. I do, however, think that there are certain pockets of opportunity within the growth sector. I don't think it's going to fall apart completely. We know that the tech companies, there are certain tech companies that absolutely dominate and knock out the park in terms of the earnings. So having a look at, I do not think that you can discard tech completely. I think it's got to be a definitely a diversified approach to allocating capital offshore.
Yeah, and being a bit more picky about the stuff that you buy in the tech space. All right, and then something we've also seen recently, you know, and I think this is something, well, last year emerging markets strongly outperformed the developed world, but it seems that this year that trend has reversed somewhat. Is this an opportunity for us to sort of increase weightings into emerging markets, or do we stay invested in the developed world?
Similar to the value versus growth story, we have seen emerging markets also underperform developed markets over the long term. However, we do know that if we have a look at the basket of emerging market stocks, currently it's being dominated by technology shares, and that is specifically Asian and Chinese technology shares, which have sort of been under pressure with regard to Chinese regulation and control over those companies. Within the previous cycle, we did see emerging market indices being dominated by the commodity sector, which was a massive driver, also benefiting South Africa as well.
All the gold stocks, all the platinum stocks doing well.
All the platinum stocks doing well. But this time around, it's different. I think we've got to keep an eye on, in terms of regulation or the commentary out of the People's Republic of China and the control. And I think that is a risk that investors have got to watch out for. I do, however, think that if we have a look at the developed market world as well, ex-US, there are certain areas that have that are offering value. For example, if you have a look at Europe, and this comes back to the value versus growth story, within the European region, it's more exposed to the cyclical, such as the financial sector. And we know that the Eurostox 50 and 600, that's actually breaking out to new all-time highs. We've got the DAX nil at 16,000. So at the moment, it seems as if the developed market, specifically ex-US, is finding favor, and that could potentially be a next leg up within global equities.
Yeah, okay. All right, some good insight there. Lester, thank you very much. I want to give you a bit of a shout out on Twitter, because I think that some of the research and stuff that you put out is really good. So if you are on Twitter and you'd like to follow him, it's at @_Lester_Davids. Is that right? Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Unfortunately, we are out of time, so we have to move on. But thank you for your insights and your view from the market. I think that you know, there's a couple of opportunities for the patient is kind of the takeaway that I'm taking from this.